You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. And now time for the Classic Car Show with Steve Rinaldo and Jim Weber.
And good morning. You're listening to America's Web Radio. And this is the Classic Car Show. And at our infamous roundtable today, we've got the illustrious board member. He's been on every board. Walked every board
two by four,
between two sawhorses or something, I guess, right?
And Home Depot, right?
And Home Depot. And he's been on every board. And that's Mr. Steve Rinaldo. And then there's the illustrious Mr. Jim Weber that keeps us glowing in the dark. I don't know what that means at all.
I don't either.
But there's that light shining.
If that's a reflection.
That's the moon haircut.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've got Mr. Jim Weber in, and we're going to be talking about some things. I want to start off by acknowledging, and I take all the blame for it. You guys know the whys, and I won't go into all of that stuff, but I didn't get in touch with, like I wanted to, the folks down at Boca Raton. They're having their concourse today.
Yes.
Started yesterday with the viewing.
Yes.
And the auction, I think, is today as well.
Couple of them.
Yeah, they have a couple, yeah. Matt's for Mr. Case.
Yeah.
So we wish them the very best, and hopefully I'll get back on the railroad track, and we'll get some of the other concourses that are coming out. It was a great interview with Bill Warner the other
day.
You know, I tell you, like I've said before, and Bill and Dr. Simeon and some of the others, you want to meet some nice guys and ladies.
Well, how about Steve's girlfriend, Mrs. Swigert?
And Pat, Pat Swigert. You know, they're just nice folks.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about Bill is, I was listening to the replay of it, and in his voice, he's nice. I mean,
He's humble.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the awards Amelia Islands won, but Bill won the Road Racing Drivers Club Award one year, and they only give that to one person a year.
Yeah, I think he got the, the guy, the designer award one year that they give, AACA gives to the person who has contributed the most.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of the name.
I can't either. Well, he's up there.
Durier
Award.
I think
he's up there giving a speech.
Yesterday. After the President's Dinner, they had an evening with Bill Warner. I feel kind of bad not being there. It's the first time I haven't been there in years and years and years and years.
I'm surprised they held it without you.
Okay, now, Jim, do you think I'll get the Nice Guy Award ever?
You're working on it.
From who?
I don't know. I can't even get it from my wife, much less.
But there's a little bit of news from AACA. It's not good news. Past President Herb Oakes died suddenly.
No.
His wife found him dead. He was 82, and the thing, other than being the past national president and really involved, and he did a lot for the upgrading of the AACA judging system. That was his deal. He was the command sergeant major of the Marine Corps.
Yes. Well, I remember when I went to judges school. I mean, you sat at attention.
Yeah, yeah. He was the... He's the only person higher than him is the commander of the Corps.
Yeah. General Mattis.
Yeah. So that's kind of a sad, kind of a bummer.
Nice man.
Yeah, he worked hard, and he contributed a lot for the to the hobby.
Yeah.
Plus, to this country. And he was always teasing me all the time. He was both triple qualified, jump qualified, Halo qualified and Lolo qualified.
Whoa!
For those of you who don't,
he had to be a few years before when he did not the initial jump, but the halo and
he always wanted me to do a low jump with him, and I said, "No way, brother! That's like you stand on a chair and jump off from a building and see if your chute will open."
Yeah,
those guys are really wacky.
What's halo? 10 or 20?
High altitude.
000? Yeah, no,
I don't know what the numbers are.
It's like thirty some odd thousand feet.
It's very high.
Yeah,
it's very high.
Well, you have to have oxygen to do it.
So he was quite a character. Quite a character. So anyway, that's sort of a sad thing when you lose somebody that's been instrumental, especially in AACA, changing and improving the judging system, which is a main part of.
Yeah, which is a nice feature of the club.
Yeah, well, everybody says that the AACA judging is the most, I guess, fair. Over like Concours judging, and that's one of the things we got to get on is one of the top Concours judges. That would be a good and talk about Concours judging versus actual point system judging, where
well, Dave Kirkman
could do it. Yeah, but in AACA judging, like I've said before when we've talked about this subject, that you know when you bring your car, you know what you're trying to do. There's a statement, one of the first statements in the judging manual is that it's to appear on the showroom floor as new with only factory authorized accessories installed. As new. Not over restored, no nothing, just that's what it is. And some of the clubs take that to just bizarre extremes, like the Corvette Club, where they're looking for serial numbers on a glass.
Well, and part numbers on hoses.
Yeah, and just craziness, you know.
Hose clamps.
Yeah, but I'm glad there are people that do that.
Yeah. Okay, so in your mind, you're a judge. Where's the cutoff? Where does it go from this is good, this is important,
well,
this
all
right, is fair,
perfect
to
perfect example. We have a Stingray Corvette, and it goes to an AACA national meet, and it is a Bloomington Gold winner in the Corvette Club, and that's the top one, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, and it has the hoses with the correct numbers on it, and everything is perfect as if it were brand new right off the showroom floor. And AACA judging, you get no more points for that. A hose is a hose, as long as it's the correct shape and the correct color.
But if it had radial tires, it would be deducted.
Yeah.
Because they came with bias ply tires.
Yeah. It's as it were. See, they have the statement, and the other ones don't do that. And I've never done judging at car shows in that circumstance, like Corvette or Model A or any. I've just never done that because I think it's a little bit over the top.
Yeah. When I get into those, I'll do a race car class because then, you know, it's...
There's no rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'll open a box of or Pandora's box or whatever, and... Please, you got coffee left in your... I don't want you throwing it at me.
No, I don't. I finished my tea. All right.
But a concourse, and I love the people. I love Bill Warner and, you know, all the folks that do the concourse. But, like you were saying, the judging difference, I don't want to say you buy your way into the concourse, but to some degree, you know,
it's a social event. It's a social event, too. It's not... It's a social, it's a gathering.
It's not really a contest, but
it depends upon the level. If you get to Amelia or Pebble, then it is a contest, I think.
But they still have those 10 points that just, you know, that have no meaning.
Yeah, emotion.
Breathing. You're breathing,
you should see some of these cars. They're so perfect and so presented, and the man and woman stand there in their... He has a long tail tux and carries a cane, and she's all dressed with this, And, you know, they're there as part of the display, so they get a little extra. It has nothing to do with the vehicle. And the car belonged to whoever over the period. It was Marilyn Monroe's car. And, you know, this kind of stuff. Yeah, so they get extra for that. And that's okay as long as you know that going in.
Yeah. Well, and it's like if you judge a Ferrari class and one of the cars is a Ferrari Classique. Now, Ferrari Classique is where you used to ship your car to Italy to the Ferrari factory restoration shop, and they would either upgrade it to Classique or determine whether it was or not. You'd get a big, thick red book. Well, there's now 7 dealers, I think, in the United States, or 10. Maybe one of the Ferrari people would call and let us know that do that. And I don't know how accurate those 7 or 10 dealers are versus the factory.
Well, I'm sure they can't be as accurate.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so,
but that's if you get the Ferrari in that, I mean, it's almost given that it's a winner.
Yeah, if it's a red book car. Yeah.
So, I'm sure one of you can answer this. We've got AACA, and I don't want to. Who's the judge and jury? Who's going to put a concourse in their right place? Who's gonna put a meat in its right place? Who's gonna put any of this? And we're gonna do a show. We were talking about very soon we're gonna do a show on fraud. But I'm not saying any of this is fraudulent. But
right. But
who's the monitor? Who's the governor of all of this stuff?
Well, they like again, I'll go back to Herb that just died. He was vice president of class judging. He's the final say so.
Or a chief judge in a concours.
They do it, you know, I said the rule is set up front as if it were to appear on the showroom floor with only factory accessories. That you know that going in. That's the rule. There's your rule right there. So that's what you're shooting for. So you have to have right colors. I mean, no, they aren't, you know, again, we'll pick Brenda's Thunderbird, which is peacock blue. And there's several shades of peacock blue, and you're not going to who knows, and the burden of proof is on the owner. If you go up and the team captain introduces himself, and again we'll pick tires, which is a very controversial subject. If somebody says, you know, I really don't think that the base model 70 Chevelle came with red line tires. I think it was only the SS cars. And this car is sitting there with, it's just a base Chevelle. And it has red line tires. And the chief judge can go up to the owner and say, do you have documentation on red line tires being available? And if the owner's smart, and this is one thing AACA does over all of the other clubs, they have a owner seminar that they do, and they tell you about documentation, what's going to happen, what you should do. But then, finish?
Yeah, let's hold that thought and let's take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
Students compete in the Great Race, which is a cross-country time endurance rally for vintage vehicles. As you can imagine, it's pretty costly. I'm asking for your help. Your donation can make it possible for these students to live their passion and promote the vintage automobile industry. Please visit our site at give.alfredstate.edu and search Great Race to learn more and help us reach our goal. Thank you.
Hi, this is Steve Rinaldo, host of the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio. Just talking to you about anti-car insurance. I think that if you're looking for the best coverage for your classic car, consider J.C. Taylor Insurance. They've been my insurer for years in this hobby and have the top rating of all of the insurance companies in the hobby. When you get ready for insurance, call J.C. Taylor or visit jctaylor.com on the Internet.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we do thank you for listening to the Classic Car Show. I want to give a shout-out and say thanks to Kyle, our young representative from Alfred State, and Mr. Depew that was on, the master welder. As I was mentioning to Jim and Steve, I got a couple of emails regarding that show, and that's always nice to hear that people like it and have questions about it. And I think we ought to bring a big Lincoln parked outside with the motor running and have Mr. Depew in air well Steve's mouth shut or something. Man, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, you know, don't you remember the big blue or the big Lincoln welders, and they'd sit out there, the generator would be going,
oh, yeah,
in the welder, and every time you'd hit an arc, you'd that run and then start like.
Oh, that was 100 years ago.
Yeah, they're still out there.
Yeah.
Oh, I followed one the other day in the back of a pickup truck in the bed. The whole bed was three different welders.
Yeah. Well, and you see them pike, the big trucks with the buckets on them that go out with the storms and stuff like that. They've always got one on them. So.
Yeah, that's a tough job.
Well, let's go back to where we were on the concourse. And do you remember?
Well, yeah. Anyway, when we were talking about who has rules and what they are. So like I mentioned at AACA, the rule is it's the owner's responsibility. But if the judges go up and they ask again, we'll pick that Chevelle, and the owner does not have documentation and somebody really doesn't know, they think it's right, the benefit of the doubt always goes to the owner.
Okay, Steve, you're going to love this because you're technically inclined. You love all the technology that we're... Okay, I'm standing there, and we're talking about the tires, whether they're red line or not, and you question me, and I pull out my iPad, and I pump in Googles, and da-da-da-da. Okay, here's the proof. Is that proof?
Yes, as long as it's a factory document.
Okay, so, and are people doing that now?
Yes. As long as it's a factory document. Like, say if you did that with your thing in it and you had a copy or access to a 70s Chevelle brochure.
That would be
the sales brochure on this, and you flipped it to the page, said all Chevelles, you know, under features, they come with red line tires. Okay, fine.
Or a Monroney label, if you've got a copy of the Monroney label and it says.
Yeah, because most of the car companies have their records. They charge you, some charge you, some don't. They can pull up, you give them the VIN, they can pull up that car and tell you exactly what it came with and what it didn't. But they do see, and that's the problem I have with Concord judging is there's no rule.
Okay, how far back does that go? Because I didn't know until recently that you can put in a VIN number and find out where that car is, a brand new car or any car.
Well, if maybe you can.
Well, brand new, I can say almost 100%. Older car, I don't know, or necessarily not, I feel.
Well, again, a lot of the clubs, the Mark Specialty Club, for example, Model A Restorers Club, sends people to Detroit and Dearborn every year. Their committee on what do they call it? Where they fine point judging cars, and they go and research stuff. The Model A Ford is probably the most researched car ever. They can tell you anything you ever wanted, and they have records, and they have all of this stuff. And they go every year. They go every year and comb through piles of literature for the one or two little gems that are still undiscovered. So they could tell you, you know, pretty much certain, even though they weren't all kept, but, you know, like the percentage of what cars of Model A two doors were painted Washington blue. They could tell you approximately.
Okay, I want to reverse this a little bit. For the folks that are listening in that have classic cars of some shape, form, or fashion or the other, would it be good for us to request, say you got a Studebaker, a 52 Studebaker or something, I don't know, whatever. Would it be apropos for us to suggest to that owner, contact the Studebaker Club.
Studebaker Owners Club, yeah.
And send them the information about your car, or make sure they have the information about your car.
Yeah.
Is that a good request?
They do. They have registries, and they have stuff where they keep up with things. I mean, how could you keep up with, you know, Fords? Because there was several million made every year. But, you know, that information, a lot of it is more available than you would think.
Well, would it be worthwhile for Jim that owns that Studebaker to check and see if his information is available?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I would, absolutely.
Anybody. Yeah. The big problem you have is sometimes it's kind of vague, because one manufacturer that I know of has the chassis number and the bodybuilder's number, but unless you have the maker's plate with the engine number stamped on it, you don't know if it's that engine or not, because when they came down the line, they just pulled an engine off and put it in there. So you could have a whole series of serial numbers, and it could be any one of those engines that qualifies.
Okay, now I got to be the devil's advocate. Particularly in Europe.
That's what I was referring to.
Okay, particularly in Europe, they did keep it.
The Germans.
And particularly the Germans.
Yeah.
Even with their Lugers and everything else, their weapons, which makes their weapons more valuable if you've got all the serial numbers stamped on every part of the weapon. But with that being said, looking at the United States, like you said, they're going through the assembly line, they grab a motor, they throw it in. They grab a door, they throw it on. They grab a windshield, they throw it in. Bottom line, does it make that much difference today?
I would say yes.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Production cars, probably not so much. You know, Ford Falcon, how many were
they? But when you get into Hemi Cudas and...
Yeah, where they start, when you start talking about that kind of stuff, and that kind of stuff is very well docked. Copo Camaros.
Yeah.
The real stuff that, you know, odd. And then, of course, all the classic coach-built cars, Auburns, Duesenbergs, you know, not Auburns. Auburns and Cords were production cars, but Duesenbergs and the big Packards and the big
Pierce
Cadillacs
Arrow.
And Pierce Arrows, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so I couldn't afford it. Jim can afford it. Jim's looking to buy a something or the other. Where does he look on that car? It starts with the motor, starts with the engine, or the VIN number, I guess, up in the windshield or up on the front or on the hood or someplace.
But wait a minute. The cars I'm interested in don't have a VIN number.
Okay, so...
No, they have a chassis number.
They just have... Yeah. Okay, so where do you start looking for numbers that they match?
Well, it depends upon the car. If it's a Talbot Lago Grand Sport, I'm going to have to look certain places. Yeah.
Well...
But if it's a Corvette Stingray, I'll call my friend Ken up in New York, because or Warner in Detroit, because they're the experts on it.
Yeah, and classic cars, the big classic cars, they were so documented.
Yeah.
The only thing that wasn't documented probably was the color choice and the interior, and that was dumb because they weren't done by the company. You got your car, and they took it to a trimmer, or they took it to a painter.
But the other thing to remember is there's experts on this, like a Duesenberg. If you want to validate it, you call Randy Ema, because he has the files on all the Duesenbergs, and he knows the history over the years of Duesenbergs and what's happened to them. I would say that if you're starting to get into that kind of thing, you need to do a lot of research and determine and go to the experts, and there's plenty of books written on it, and find out exactly, you know,
yeah,
what's correct.
Because they'll tell you that the car was sent to X and X painter, and they painted it a, you know, Stardust blue with a,
yeah,
and then the trimmer did a blood red interior.
Well, and I found out a long time ago, I was at Meadowbrook, and there were a bunch of, I don't want to say bizarre, but unusual colored cars, all custom-bodied cars.
Yes, because you could do what you wanted.
Yeah, from the 20s and 30s. And I said, well, where did they select the colors? And the palettes came from the Audubon prints, the bird prints. And that's how they came up with the colors for some,
yeah,
of these wines.
The one that I remember the most is, there was a national meet in Florida, and the guy's dead now, had the biggest Duesenberg collection in the United States, and or privately held Duesenberg collection. And he had both cars, Gary Cooper and Clark Gable went and got two Duesenberg Roadsters together. They bought them at the same time.
Yeah.
The boat tail cars, just absolutely stunning. Clark Gary Cooper's was a gray color. Clark Gable's was pumpkin orange with an orange interior. And I asked this guy, I said, is that right? He said, yeah. I said, that's pretty bizarre. He said, you're Clark Gable. It's 1933. You're the king of Hollywood. You can do whatever the hell you want.
That was like Fatty Arbuckle with
that
his
purple,
Barzero.
That,
yeah,
big, ugly purple,
yeah,
thing. You know, so those kind of cars, yeah, there's a lot of information. It's hard to find information on production cars, because they'll just, because there were so many, you know. And the thing that really drives me crazy, and again, I'll pick on Model A Restorers Club because I know those people. They publish things like, they publish some of the craziest things, like the radiator cap is supposed to, or gas cap is supposed to have three rivets starting in September of 1931. You think if Henry Ford found a box of old damn gas caps hidden in under a bench, he's going to throw them away?
Well, it's like hose clamps. You go to, yeah, the NCRS show, National Corvette Restorers Society, and do you don't know if Jake on the assembly line had a hangover that day or not, and if he put the hose clamp on one way or the other,
yeah,
coming down the,
yeah,
line. That's,
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah, that gets a little obsessive.
Yeah.
Okay, with that being said, we're going to take another break. You're listening to America's Web Radio, the Classic Car Show with Steve Rinaldo and Jim Weber. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Steve Rinaldo, host of the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio. Just talking to you about antique car insurance. I think that if you're looking for the best coverage for your classic car, consider J.C. Taylor Insurance. They've been my insurer for years in this hobby and have the top rating of all of the insurance companies in the hobby. When you get ready for insurance, call J.C. Taylor or visit jctaylor.com on the Internet.
Forty-five years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation, Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening. You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Classic Car Show with Steve Rinaldo and Jim Weber on America's Web Radio, and we've just been talking classic cars today.
Yeah.
And a little fraud and a little this and a little that. One thing you had mentioned, the color on Brenda's T-Bird. didn't they used to, on the metal plate attached to the door?
Yeah, there was a color code.
There was a color code, yeah, okay. So I'm not crazy.
No, there was a color code, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of manufacturers did.
Yeah, there was color codes, but again, mixing paint, if they're a few shades off, they aren't going to throw it away.
Right, yeah.
When it came in that 55-gallon drum.
you just sprayed it.
Whatever was there is what you used, and it was... My favorite story on painting cars is John Thornley, Peter's dad, who was the general manager of MG Car Club. And when we restore cars, MG's T-Series in the United States, the rule is that the grill shell slats are supposed to match the interior color. And I asked him if that was true, and he typically, well, mostly, Baldifero was painting, and a red one was coming down the lawn with a biscuit interior. He thought a biscuit grill shell would look like hell, so he painted it red.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's
so,
great.
Yeah, so there is a lot of that kind of stuff.
Well.
A lot of that kind of unusual, usual happenings.
Yes.
So.
Well.
Okay. Well, wait a second.
What's going on here?
I don't know. We have a friend of mine calling in.
And okay.
We're not hooking up here somehow.
Uh-oh. Okay, somehow you jumped off. Hold on.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay, Mike, you there?
No, I have nothing.
Oh.
Mike, you there?
Ready, fire, aim.
Hello? I just hear some electric sounds. But anyway, there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Okay, so we'll try it again.
The documentation is available, and that's why I like the AACA judging. Whoa.
Yeah. Hello. You just cleaned my ears out.
Okay, Michael, are you there?
No.
We're having a little
hard time, so while David resolves this issue, but that's why I like the AACA judging. It seems to be
dropping you.
And the other thing is, you go to all these auctions and you buy these cars, and unless you've got an expert with you,
you don't know.
You don't know.
You really don't know. And that's really, if you buy from a certain person, like if Fred Simeone was selling a car, I would not worry about the...
Yeah, whoa. Exactly. Well, in his book, the book that he's written on authenticity is incredible.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, are you there?
And that's available from the museum.
Yeah.
His museum.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we.
Well, I don't know where we're.
See if that'll do it. Hold on.
Let's
We're going to see if we can get him.
Yeah.
This is very expensive.
Hello?
Uh-oh. No, I don't think we have him. We're going to add some equipment to the board.
We can... I don't know. But anyway, yeah. And the old adage from people... That old adage, buyer beware, is really true in the old car stuff. Because unless you've really researched and known and looked, and the thing that I have the biggest problem with auction is, a lot of times you can't talk to the owner because he's not there, and you can't drive the car unless you're awfully lucky. If the owner happens to be there, and the car is going to be sold on Saturday, and you're there on Friday.
Okay, Mike, let's
it'll probably
one more time.
Let you take it for a ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, you're buying, you don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, you there?
No, I have nothing. Are we here?
Yeah, we're here. Thinking about that, I remember years ago, our friend Pat Braden going to look at a car at one of the auctions in Arizona that was questionable.
Yeah, so when I went with him, to that Alpha car.
Yeah, yeah, and they basic. I believe they took it out of the auction, didn't they?
They were threatened. They had to take it away.
Yeah.
They had to remove it. Yeah. They had to remove it from the auction because of the controversy over the serial numbers.
One more time with the
and
hold on.
Who owns the car? You know, and that happens more than you think at these kind of places.
Right.
Well, okay, we'll try it now. Michael, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good heavens.
Wow. Good morning.
What'd you have for breakfast that caused all this?
I don't know. Maybe it was the bacon sandwich at the Waffle House.
At the Waffle House?
Wow.
Anyway,
I don't mean to give him free publicity, but it was a good sandwich.
Yeah. But anyway, Mike Teese on the line. I've known Mike since we were kids, and Mike runs a not just here, but there are other ones. I'll talk about that. It's called SoutheastWheels.com, and it's one of, in the Southeast, the biggest website where you can find out all of the activities that are going on any given weekend. Because I remember one time he told me he was involved in a local car show, and there were how many that same weekend? 60-something?
There were 65 car shows on a Saturday in June between Chattanooga and Macon.
Wow.
Yeah, and
Steve went to all of them?
Yeah, all at once. Yeah, yeah. I started and stayed overnight with Harold and just went 100 miles an hour down 75.
He won all of them.
He won all of them. Okay.
Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about this Wheels events, where it's located. How can somebody list something? How can they look at it? Is it a subscription only? Is it open? How do you what's it about?
Well, the website itself is southeastwheelsevents.com. The reason why we picked the term Wheels Events was when we started it, there was no word that covered everything that had to do with cars, motorcycles, trucks, and trains or whatever. If you say car show, it leaves out the bikes. If you say motorcycle event, it leaves out everything else. So we picked up a term called Wheels Events, and it's click. People now know what we mean. So it's southeastwheelsevents.com, and we got the idea because you may recall up until 2010 or so, the Atlanta Journal would print a calendar every Thursday about what was going on each weekend. And for some reason they stopped. Actually, I found out what happened is that there was one guy that I found out later, he retired, and they decided that it was too much of a bother, so they didn't do it anymore. And so I thought, well, you know, let's give it a try. Let's see what we can do, and it just clicked. And
we decided to
make it free so people just can put their events up themselves. And it's real simple. You just go to southeastwheelsevents.com. You go to the events tab. This is calendar of events, and you'll see an add button. You hit that and fill in the blanks.
Yeah. Wasn't there another one, Mike, called Running Boards?
Ragtops and Running Boards.
Right.
It's still out there.
Is it still out there?
Yeah, it's a subscription little newsletter.
And yours is free, which is a good thing.
Well, actually, you know, his name is Joe Hester, and he's one of my heroes. Joe was part of the inspiration.
Beautiful.
And that's what they do. People who have a car show, they call him up and they give him the information and he prints it. And it's very valuable. You have a little printed magazine once a month and you carry it around with you, and it's very helpful. The website also adds to it by being more current because you can change things in it. You can put something up.
Well,
and add information for tomorrow if you want to.
How many listings do you normally carry? And this covers the whole Southeast, of course. But on a weekend, how many listings do you have of activities? Not now because it's still a little cold, but say in June or July.
We could have anywhere from 50 to 200 different events going on in any one weekend easily in the Southeast. There's probably, just say for car shows, just for today, say something in Atlanta, there's probably four or five choices that you have. There's one in Tucker. If I'm sick of Christmas, or no, I'm sick of winter, I guess is the name of it. Real nice show. It's done by the Cool Cruisers, Georgia Cool Cruisers, who do a real good job at the Old Hickory House, which is nice. What's nice about that is this is the last Old Hickory House left.
Is it the one the, you know, right off of 85? Well, anyway, now, does it cost anybody anything to list their event?
Cost nothing to list, and it costs nothing to look.
Okay. Now, you have other ones, too. Where else do Wheels events listings occur?
We have one in the Northeast Wheels events, one in UK, United Kingdom, and one in the West Coast.
Really?
And
you need an Australian one.
We've talked to people in Australia, and it was a young man who started it. We own the domain, but we haven't got it operational yet.
No, so you do have one coming for Australia.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'll go.
We'll have it. You know, in a short period of time, it'll be pretty much worldwide. You know, all around the world.
I'm gonna go to the one in New Zealand when the Hobbits host it.
Yes.
I'll go to that one. Now, another thing that you...
We're going to have a Porsche race across the top of the China Wall.
Ah.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yes.
I can't wait till I get to the big hole.
Yeah.
The big gap.
Yeah.
Another thing that you're involved in, not as you're involved, but not part of the official, if you will, is a car show here called Caffeine and Octane, and that thing to me is pretty amazing. What's happened? How old is it? And just a real little history and how the biggest one is. And I know it started over at East Cobb at the Avenues. And it's just an interesting story of how big it has become, and now it's going to be a TV show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
The story really of Caffeine and Octane parallels to some extent the hobby in itself lately. And really is an indication of how strong the subculture is. They started with a few handful of cars over in a Panera Bread in
East Cobb, at Avenues,
Cobb,
at the Avenues.
At the Avenues in East Cobb, just not far from Norcross or Roswell, I forget the area, but it's over in that area. And it had started a little bit, and when I got involved, and then the website got involved, and which was somewhat later, but I had been promoting it and helping out as a volunteer,
okay. And
still do. And it was a handful of sports cars, and maybe a couple of antique classics.
Hey, Mike, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and you can finish your story.
Okay, sure.
Hi, this is Steve Rinaldo, host of the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio. Just talking to you about antique car insurance. I think that if you're looking for the best coverage for your classic car, consider J.C. Taylor Insurance. They've been my insurer for years in this hobby and have the top rating of all of the insurance companies in the hobby. When you get ready for insurance, call J.C. Taylor or visit jctaylor.com on the Internet.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio. We're glad to have you listening in this Saturday. And we got Mike Thies on, and I'll turn it back over to Steve and Jim.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike, with your story of caffeine and octane. It's just a cool story.
Well, the quick story about it is that it started to catch on. It started out Saturday, and they moved it to Sunday morning and ended up very quickly becoming a tradition of the first Sunday morning of every month. And it would be pretty early in the morning, before breakfast, and people were typically there by 7 o'clock, 7:30, and they'd be gone by 10:30 or 11. And it started being quite a collection of free cruise-in, or what in the niche we call probably a free meet, because there's no judging, there's no structure to it. Recently they've added a little bit of structure in terms of where people park with what kind of cars, but for the most part, it was first come, first serve, and if you had a club and you wanted to get there together, you got there early enough to meet together and you went and had coffee. And finally, I outgrew that space. We ended up in a variety of places. We were up in, there was a school in St. John, Johns Creek for a while. And then we were up in Alpharetta. We were there for quite a while. And it was copy written or trademark, I'm not sure exactly how they formalized the caffeine and octane, by a man by the name of Mark Ritter. And Mark is a very bright man, very well-presented hobbyist who is also a Delta pilot. And somewhere along the line, he sold the name to Auto Trader Classics, Auto Trader itself. And they ran it for a while, and they ended up selling it to a company that now has expanded it to include caffeine and exotics, which happens the third morning.
Yeah, I forget about that one.
Yeah, and we now have any one Sunday morning, got a good sunny day, probably 2,000 cars. Could be 3,000 or 4,000 people come in, spectators come in, they bring their kids, they bring their dogs and leashes and go have breakfast. They moved it to the Perimeter Mall across from Dillard's on the, and it's massive. I'll get there, I'm one of the hosts, I'll get there about 4:35 o'clock in the morning. I'll be knowing there by 7 o'clock there's thousands and thousands of people. And it just parallels the growth, I think, or the awareness of the hobby. There's always been this kind of support for the hobby, but to have organized meets where people can meet, really started probably in 2000s over in places like L.A. and Long Island and Miami Beach. But we've had some huge car shows right along, Steve. Those are probably more structured. The thing about this one is it's free and people come and go as they want and there's no judging and there's no, panel.
Isn't
of experts.
Somebody told me that that caffeine and octane here is the biggest open cruise-in, if you will, for want of a name, in the country.
They believe it is. There used to be one in Southern California called Cars and Coffee, and that was in Irvine, and that was probably bigger than this, and it happened every week. And I believe it happened on Saturday morning. They outgrew it and stopped it because the mall they were having at didn't want to do it anymore. It was too much of a problem for them, and they haven't yet started it where they've taken off.
Hey, Mike.
I just wonder what the magic is that kind of holds something that informal together. The young person who has purchased it from Auto Trader is a real good organizer, and he seems to have the glue. And between that and the history and its own momentum and his leadership, they've got this show going now with Velocity TV, where they come in with the TV crews and interview people there, and it's starting here in February and quite fascinating. I've watched them do the videos and the interviews. I think it's going to be a very entertaining show.
Oh, really? I'm looking forward to that.
Mike.
And the fact that it's here in Georgia, I think everybody really gets a kick out of it. Georgia apparently has gotten to be quite a film-oriented community. They're making a lot of movies here, like The Walking Dead and some other stuff. But the
yeah, that's
the
about that's is, about the Georgia legislature.
Yeah, it's a system made, you know, built by geniuses, run by Walking Dead. Okay, so the thing that's interesting, Steve, is that, you know, we've had so many changes and growth in it, and the number of people that are interested in it, and now it's taken on such. It used to be just, you know, maybe a brand name by a you know, British car club or a hot rod club and the Georgia Street Rod Association, or now the clubs have gotten together where it's not so much by a brand or even a type of vehicle, but just the whole history of the car, the culture, the motorcycles. A lot of people have a car, a race car, also have a motorcycle. So it's not where it's come out by a brand or even a type. It's more of an enthusiasm for the whole development of the machine in our culture.
Cool. I think it's pretty neat. And again, for those of you that have not seen it, it's at Perimeter Mall, which is just off of 285.
Ashford-Dunwoody
Road on the first Sunday, and it's rain or shine, because Mike tells me even when it's just a nasty day, they get, when there was, what, a couple weeks ago, you had that you figured 700-900 cars on this horribly cold, nasty day.
And what happened is that they, you know, they came and they waited until the rain stopped, and then once the rain stopped, people started coming. And even in the rain, if it's not too, you know, if it's not a hurricane, that people come out. We also, there's also one now called the at the Varsity on Jimmy Carter on the third Sunday in the evening, and it's again an informal cruising, and the and the hundreds of cars. It just used to be a huge one downtown. That one was on Thursday nights. That's disappeared. But there's another one. It's a free meet going on called the Gwinnett Meet on Brook Hollow Road in Norcross on Thursday nights at the American Korean Community Center. So there's...
Yeah, the Kimchi Cruise. I know all about that, yeah.
The thing is that you have kind of a different... Like a car show typically is one where you pay and you go in with your vehicle, and there may be a judging or some... You know, sometimes you get formally trained judges like a Concours d'Elegance, or maybe it's a more open car show and the participants will choose and give trophies out and stuff like that. But there's also just the ones where it's done to raise money for a community program or a church. The amount of charities that are involved in it are really phenomenal. The coming up in March, we have a antique collector car portion of the Atlanta Auto Show at the Congress Center. And so the people want to know where all these are without having to memorize them. They can just come to southeastwheelsevents.com, and there's a listing in the calendar, and you just click on the date, and it'll tell you what's going on in the...
And who to get a hold of if you are interested.
Right, yeah.
But I think I that caffeine and octane story is, I just think, is pretty cool. I mean, I don't come over very often, and I'm very fortunate. I'll call you, and you'll save me a place, so I don't have to drive around and look at the stuff. And there are all kinds of cars there, and it's worth going just to see the weird stuff. That guy that has the James Bond boat car sometimes comes, and that... That big Russian-looking thing with that Russian thing with the propeller on the back, all kinds of goofy stuff.
There are people there that have spent most, a good part of their hobby life building a particular vehicle. We'd love to have you come over, bring the Model T, and that Maxwell would be a tremendous addition.
Yes, I'd like to bring the Maxwell. Let's get...
But even your Model A is a pretty rare car. We'll, you know, it's... There's pl- plenty of them out there, but it's hard to get people in their Model A to get up early on a Sunday morning and chug a lug to come over to Perimeter Mall.
Yeah.
Well, not many of them do very well on the 285.
Well, you know, I can go back road, so I don't have that far. But anyway.
We'd love to have you there and bring the... I love the MG. We didn't have any MG there. Last week we had two Alfa Romeo roadsters. I forget the models. And I don't think we had one MG. And here's these two relatively rare two-seater sports cars that show up, and MGs are pretty common, and no one bothers to get
out. The guy sitting next to me has a rare Alfa Romeo, too.
Real rare. You're going to bring it down from New York?
No, it's here. Yeah, no, he has one here. He has one here.
One in New York and two in Ohio.
So, yeah. So anyway, I guess what? How much time do we have?
About 2 minutes.
So again, in the last couple of minutes, go. You know, tell everybody real quickly about when the Caffeine and Octane is, location, and when you're how to get to your Southeast Wheels events.
Well, it's every first Sunday of the month, and the best way to check it is in terms of location and what the plan is to go on southeastwheelsevents.com, go to the events calendar tab. There's other tabs there that have lists of the different clubs and photographs and videos and other activities that are going on. There's a lot of articles that people want to submit pictures of their cars. But the main purpose of the calendar of the website is the events calendar for cars, motorcycles, trucks, trains, planes, anything having to do with wheels and the transportation hobbies in the industry. As you know, we're getting a lot of people posting up their events having to do with automotive auctions and racing. The racing season.
Oh, you do racing stuff too, huh?
Yes.
Oh,
you
I didn't.
We have this coming up is the at the Congress Center. No, it's at the Congress Center. I think the motorcycle dirt track racing where they go into
the
piles of dirt and these kids go out there and.
Oh yeah, what's it called?
Dirt track racing.
Over the hills and stuff. Autocross. No.
Motocross. And so it's really quite. Both you'll find all sorts of things on there that you might not thought of.
I have one last question before we go. How what's the biggest cruising in England?
The biggest cruising in England is in Blackpool at the. Actually, it's in Cleveland, in the northwest.
All right, how big? Because we got to get going.
Probably 500 by vehicles every.
Cool.
Yeah,
I think I'll go. I think I'll get my Austin 7 and drive over, I think.
Well, we'll get our England representative, Kevin Flood, to go.
Yeah, yes. That'd be good.
Well, have him do that, because you go to this one in Blackpool called Burnout and Burgers. Burnouts and Burgers.
With that being said, Mike, we've got to end it and get ready to...
put the plug in the chug.
All right.
See ya.
Thanks for being on. You're listening... to America's Web Radio. You've been listening to The Classic Car. We appreciate you listening, and we'll be back next week on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening. You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.